101, The Hits.
Hello, and welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Ana Mateo. This program is for English learners, so we speak a bit slower. And our stories are especially written for people learning English. These are the stories we have for you on today's program. First, the education report. Katie Weaver will present a story on community colleges in the United States. Brian Lynn will talk about COVID vaccination efforts in Botswana. John Russell will tell us about regrowth happening in California. I will return with this week's words and their stories. For this week's National Parks story, Ashley Thompson and Katie Weaver will tell us about a park in the middle of Lake Superior. But first, the education report.
The year-long pandemic has led to an overall decrease of students going to colleges. The drop, however, is sharper among community colleges in the United States. In its latest report, the National Student Clearinghouse says that college enrollment dropped nearly 3% overall. And community colleges saw the biggest drop of 9.5% from a year ago. Doug Shapiro is the executive director of the organization. He warned that schools and policymakers will need to work together to help bring back the learners who are struggling during the pandemic and recession. Community colleges generally serve lower-income students. Most are two-year programs to prepare students for specific jobs or to continue at four-year schools. Many community college students attend class part-time, and some are older adults already working. The American Association of Community Colleges says tuition and fees at a community college average $3,730 a year, while the costs at a public four-year university average more than $10,000 for in-state students. The information is from the 2019-2020 school year. The coronavirus pandemic forced many businesses to close and led to economic recession in the U.S. and around the world. In the past, people often attended community colleges to seek new skills, more education, or job training during a recession. Dr. Sanjay Rai is a senior vice president at Montgomery College in Maryland. He said that during the 2008 recession, the college saw a large growth in enrollment. But during the pandemic, the college has seen a 4% drop. In Montgomery County, unemployment went from 2.4% in December 2019 to almost 9% in May 2020. Rye said that more than half of Montgomery College students lost some or all of their income. Todd Kitchen is an administrator at Northwest Arkansas Community College. He said during the last recession that started in 2008, enrollment at the college was at its highest. Over the past year, his school has seen a 10% decrease, Kitchen said. Kitchen believes people are more concerned with safety and health during the pandemic. Both Rye and Kitchen said their colleges are working to meet the changing needs of students during the pandemic. With increased need for vaccines around the world, Montgomery College, for example, is now offering a program in medical manufacturing. The most immediate need of our community is to find employment for people who have lost jobs because of the pandemic, Rye said. Brittany Jenkins is a 21-year-old second-year student at Northwest Arkansas. She has noticed far fewer students in her classes, which are now online. As the vice president of student government, she has heard many students' concerns about paying for school. In addition to tuition, students must pay for things like books, school supplies, housing, and other living costs. Free community college, Jenkins observed, would open so many doors for so many people. 17 states in the U.S. now offer tuition-free programs for community college. Many states, including Maryland and Arkansas, provide students with last dollar aid. That means the state will provide students the remaining cost of tuition after they use federal student aid. This week, U.S. President Joe Biden presented a plan to provide 2 years of free community college to all Americans. The plan will also give up to $1,400 in additional assistance to lower-income students. Biden's proposal, however, will need Republican support in an evenly divided Senate. A strong supporter of free community college is First Lady Jill Biden herself. She is a longtime professor at community colleges and plans to continue during her time in the White House. I'm Katie Weaver.
Thanks, Katie. Next, let's hear from John Russell.
Big Basin Redwoods State Park is recovering after fires heavily damaged California's oldest protected natural area. 8 months ago, lightning storms started more than 650 fires in Northern California. Today, Big Basin Redwoods State Park is still closed. But during a guided visit recently, life was reappearing on blackened redwood trees. Small flowers stood out on the burned land. I think nature is finding a way, State Park's environmental scientist Joanne Kerbavez said. The 7,284-hectare park usually has about 1 million visitors a year. But last year, many parts of the park burned for 24 hours. More than 100 structures were destroyed, including the historic park headquarters, shelters, picnic tables, and more. Many bridges are gone, too. In some places, root balls are still smoking, leaving dangerous underground areas, Kerbova said. In many ways, the park does not look much different than it did soon after the fire. An Associated Press reporter and photographer walked on the Redwood Trail a week after the fire. They confirmed that most of the ancient redwoods had survived. The trees are about 2,000 years old and among the tallest living things on Earth. The next 8 to 10 months will be spent cleaning up the park. It will be up to a year before the public can safely use trails beyond a small coastal area, State Parks District Superintendent Chris Sporer said. But no one should expect an exact rebuilding of what was lost, he noted. We need to be setting expectations for the public that when they come back, it will not look the same, Sporer said. Environmentalists have urged quick action because state and federal officials are currently financing wildfire recovery efforts and new building projects. This change presents a rare chance to get more taxpayer money for public lands. I'd hate to ever suggest we think that a fire is a good thing, but there is no question it wiped the slate clean, and that's something you just don't see in any other existing park, said Sarah Barth. Barth is executive director of Sempervirens Fund. That group started an effort in 1900 to protect 15.5 square kilometers of redwood forest that is now in the center of Big Basin. When Big Basin was established, it was a beacon for the state parks system, she said. Beacon is a term that means a thing that gives hope to others. Barth added, in this fire and rebirth, you have an opportunity again. Redwoods are naturally fire-resistant. In old-growth forests, most trees have burn marks dating back hundreds of years. Sam Hodder is president of Save the Redwoods League, a non-profit environmental group. Hodder used the term resilience, the ability to become strong and healthy again, to describe the healing process. The trees themselves will tell about resilience and recovery and the broader California landscape, he said. I'm John Russell.
Thanks, John. Now, here is Brian Lynn.
Health officials in Botswana say they have reached agreements to get enough COVID-19 vaccine injections to treat the country's whole adult population. If the country receives the 1.9 million vaccine doses it hopes for, it could become the first African nation to be fully vaccinated. The agreements were announced this week in a speech by Mosopele Mosopele, a member of Botswana's presidential COVID-19 task force. Botswana has an adult population of 1.6 million, but non-citizens will also be able to receive the vaccine, Mosopele said. Last month, the country received 60,000 doses of the Covishield vaccine, which is manufactured by the Serum Institute of India. Covishield is produced in cooperation with the makers of the AstraZeneca vaccine. The Serum Institute of India is producing vaccines for the World Health Organization-supported COVAX vaccine program. That program seeks to deploy COVID-19 vaccines to poor and other nations around the world. So far, Mosopele said more than 47,000 people in the country had been vaccinated since March 26th. He added that he was not sure when the new vaccine supplies would arrive in Botswana. but the largest shipment, 1.1 million doses, was expected to come from U.S. manufacturer Johnson & Johnson. This week, the government received 200,000 doses of the Sinovac vaccine from China. Botswana's Minister of Presidential Affairs, Gabo Murayeng, has urged all people to get vaccinated without delay. Murayeng added that the country's health officials will continue to ascertain that the vaccines we receive are safe for use by all of us. A spokesperson for the Botswana Nurses Union said it had urged the Ministry of Health to quickly begin its vaccine campaign once the new doses arrive. It is seeking a government plan with clear and simple instructions for people in all parts of the country to provide information about the campaign. The vaccine rollout plan should focus on using community halls so that we ease the burden on public health centers, the spokesperson said. Botswana has so far recorded more than 700 deaths from COVID-19, with February and March being the deadliest months. Overall, the country has identified more than 46,000 cases. I'm Brian Lin.
And now, words and their stories from VOA Learning English. In many places in the world, spring brings a lot of rain. And this can lead to a lot of mud. So today, let's talk about a mud expression. What do you think a stick in the mud is? Well, I'm sure you can imagine a wooden stick stuck in the mud. But in American English, a stick in the mud is far more than that. A stick in the mud is a boring or uninteresting person. They do not try anything new. They are not willing to take a risk. They also could be slow and old-fashioned. Sometimes sticks in the mud have unpopular or outdated beliefs. They are not progressive, or it could be a combination of all or some of these things. So a person could be called a stick in the mud for many reasons. But we always use this expression to show disapproval. So it's an insult. However, keep this in mind. A person does not always have to be a stick in the mud to be called a stick in the mud. I should explain. Let's say you are at a party with friends. Now, usually in your friend group, you are the life of the party. This means you are the one at the party who is having the most fun. You also create fun for others. You join whatever game or activity is happening. But at this party, maybe you don't feel well, or maybe you just received some bad news. Perhaps you need to be up early the next day for an important test. Whatever the reason, you are sitting in the back of the room and are not really talking much to anyone. So you are not acting like your usual self. And you haven't told anyone why. So you should not be surprised when your best friend asks you, "Why are you being such a stick in the mud?" Maybe next time you should tell your best friend when something is bothering you, or when you are not well. We have other names for a stick-in-the-mud person. We could call them a stuffed shirt. This means they are all business, all the time. They are no fun at all. If you like words that rhyme, you could call them a fuddy-duddy. Fuddy-duddies are different from stuffed shirts, though. A fuddy-duddy would be the old-fashioned, doesn't-like-change type of stick-in-the-mud. A stuffed shirt is the always very serious and business-minded type of stick-in-the-mud. You can also use stick-in-the-mud as an adjective before a noun. For example, a friend of mine always does as she is told, never tries anything new, or takes any risks. She has a bit of a stick-in-the-mud personality. Or you could say someone has a stick-in-the-mud attitude. A person who always has a stick-in-the-mud attitude could also be called a downer. This means they bring people down. Some word experts say this expression comes from an image of feet or the wheel of a horse carriage stuck in mud. Both are unable to go anywhere. They cannot progress. So in early days, the term stick-in-the-mud usually described someone who remained in a difficult situation either by choice or because they were stuck. And that's all the time we have for this Words and Their Stories. Until next time, I'm Anna Mateo.
On our national parks journey, we explore a remote island near Michigan's border with Canada. It sits within a huge freshwater lake. It is one of the least visited national parks in America. Welcome to Isle Royal National Park. Isle Royal is surrounded by the deep blue waters of Lake Superior, the largest freshwater lake on Earth by area. The park's quiet forests and rocky shores offer a kind of solitude and peace not found in some of the more popular national parks. No cars or other wheeled vehicles are permitted on Isle Royal. There are no real roads on the island. The only way to get to the park is by boat or seaplane. The National Park Service operates shuttle boats that take visitors to Isle Royal. The boats leave from two Michigan ports. The journey to Isle Royal takes 3 to 5 hours. Waters are often extremely rough.
Isle Royal is the largest of the islands within the national park. It is 72 kilometers long. The entire national park protects a total area of 230,000 hectares, including some 450 islands that surround Isle Royal. 52,000 hectares is land. The rest is water. Isle Royal became a national park in 1940. In 1980, officials named it an International Biosphere Reserve because of its unique ecosystem. Its remote location is part of what makes it among the least visited national parks. But Once they arrive, most visitors stay a while. The average stay for visitors to Isle Royale National Park is 3.5 days. The average stay for visitors to most other national parks is just 4 hours.
Isle Royale offers hiking, camping, boating, and even scuba diving. The extremely cold waters of Lake Superior help keep shipwrecks in excellent condition. The National Park Service protects 11 sunken boats for divers to explore. They are reminders of Lake Superior's commercial shipping history. The sunken wooden ship called the America is one of the most popular dive sites. The America carried passengers, mail, and supplies to many towns along the shores of Lake Superior. It first launched in 1898 and was used until 1928 when it was damaged. It sank to the bottom of the lake soon after. Today, divers can swim through the ship's ballroom, bedrooms, and engine room. Painted on the ship's engine is an American flag. Many divers take pictures of this site.
The Rock Harbor Lighthouse is another reminder of the area's commercial history. Workers built the lighthouse in the 1850s to help guide ships safely to the island's copper mines. The mining industry was short-lived, however. The lighthouse itself lit the way for ships for just 24 years. But it still stands today. Inside, exhibits and information help visitors understand Isle Royale's maritime history. A short hiking trail leads visitors to the lighthouse. Visitors to Isle Royale share the trails with a well-studied population of moose and wolves. Both species migrated to the island sometime in the early to mid-1900s. Scientists believe that moose swam to the island. They think wolves walked there during a freeze of the lake sometime in the 1940s. Scientists have closely studied the relationship between Isle Royale's wolves and moose since the late 1950s. It is one of the best studied predatory-prey relationships in the world. Researchers closely record their population numbers. Much of the research takes place during the winter, when the trees are bare. The researchers fly over the island to observe the animals from above.
Animal research is the only winter activity going on at Isle Royale. The national park is closed each year beginning in late October because of the harsh weather conditions. It reopens in springtime the next year. But for the other months of the year, Isle Royale offers refreshing lake breezes, green forests, and clear blue waters. Its stunning scenery and unusual solitude keep visitors returning year after year. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Katie Weaver.
And that is our program for today. Thank you for listening. Join us again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Ana Mateo.